I'm going to be recording the conversation just for the purposes of the project and helping out other students.
Go ahead.
Okay, great. So I did read a little bit on, you know, on your website about your business and what you do, and read some of your case histories, but maybe if you could just describe your business and what you do a little bit.
Company that helps professional services firms, engineers, architects, lawyers, etc., deliver better experiences for their clients. We believe, we've seen through first-hand and third-party research, that the better experience you create for your clients, the stronger your business will be. Profitability, employee attraction and retention. What I mean by creating experiences for your clients, experiences are really the emotional reactions people have with any interaction with your brand.
Are you still there?
That's when your experience begins.
Okay, I lost you there for a second.
Okay. Sorry about that. You have experiences every day with brands, and those experiences can be positive and memorable, they can be negative and memorable, or they can be completely unmemorable. So we're helping businesses try to create positive, memorable experiences.
Okay. Okay, great. How'd you get started in the field?
It was almost an accident. I didn't start out to do what I'm doing. I studied architecture in school and was working at an architecture firm and decided I didn't want to be an architect. Got involved in technology delivery at the firm. Started talking to my boss, now my business partners, but wanted to do a technology startup, and he thought that sounded like fun. So he had some ideas about creating software that would make his own firm better. And so I hired a software developer and started trying to build what he envisioned. And then from there, it kind of took a life of its own. Our first product didn't work, and our second product didn't work. But the third one, which is what we developed and operate today, backed our way into it. Here we are. Never thought this would be what I'm doing, but we found a niche, we found a need, and built the business around it.
Wow, that's great. And it took a couple of times. How did that feel? Like after maybe the second time of it not working out, how did you feel after that?
Well, it's frustrating. Little different in my spot that I was spending someone else's money. He funded the whole thing. So there's a lot of sense of responsibility to steward of the resources, and a lot of sense of failure that I just couldn't figure it out. There were times that his role, he was really focused more on sales and marketing and kind of the business side. I was focused on the technology, and all of a sudden he started holding me accountable for the business failing. So there was a frustrating period where I had to look at our failure and say that the technology's working. I've got a team in place to support it. The reason the business isn't working is because we're not selling. So that led to an interesting phase in our life where the power dynamics shifted. I had to start figuring out how to sell and from the business side of the business. As I got more and more successful at that, my partner stepped further and further away. And really very satisfying to take on that challenge and turn it into a successful business.
Right, right. Yeah, I imagine, yeah. Yeah, so scaling business, that's one of the things that I'm kind of working with and have been in past courses. Scaling a business is very complicated, but looking through your website, I see that you have a lot of different services. So where do you start with a business? You sit down with somebody and kind of figure out what they need, how do you get started on that?
Designing a business for scale?
Right, right. Exactly.
So it all starts with the customer, with the client. And at the end of the day, I think all too often businesses look inward at their operations and processes. And they think about scale from an operational perspective. What's easy for us? And that's not always what's best for the client. So anytime you're planning on scale, you gotta ask yourself the question, how do we build scale for our existing clients? How do we make sure as we scale, our existing customers and clients don't feel left behind or don't feel a sense of loss? And then as we develop larger scale, how do we bring on clients and customers effectively? How do we serve them effectively? How do we retain them effectively? And I really believe if you put the client or the customer at the center, and then you start building your processes and protocols around that, you're going to have a much more sustainable, easy-to-drive business.
Okay, absolutely. That all makes sense. So a business that's kind of like at a point where they're mature, but they want to attract investors, what do you tell them? How do you help them attract investors? Is that something you work on?
Well, we've been entirely self-funded. We haven't brought in any outside investing. We operate cash business with funding all of our growth through our profits. So I don't have any direct experience in that. We are considering exit strategies via an external sale. So I imagine process is very much the same. You've got to show value. The majority of our revenue is a recurring revenue. We have a software and service product. When you have the recurring revenue model, that certainly is a different kind of business. Now we're trying to find investors or trying to sell my business externally. I want to show evidence that we have sticky customers who keep coming back. I want to show evidence that our customers love us and they'll spread the word. No better sales force and growth engine than a committed base, highly engaged client. I'd also want to show the same kind of evidence about the other employees, that you have committed employees that are highly engaged and that they would love to invite their friends to come work here. Some of the biggest losses occurred after an acquisition or at the scale, when you lose clients, you lose customers, you lose employees, and it's so hard to grow if you can't keep what you already want. So, I know I'm probably belaboring the point here, but strongest business is a business that's built on strong customers and engaged employees.
Right, right, yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. The kind of customer that will tell others about you and strongly encourage them to do what they did and partner with you, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You've got to have the financials. You've got to have sales. You've got to have revenue. You've got to have margin. You've got to have a good business plan. I mean, all those things have to be there. But in my mind, those are table stakes. Everybody's doing that. What makes you stand out? What makes you different? What gets you a higher multiplier on exit than the next business that has comparable books? Well, that's really the strength of relationship with your customers on your courses. That's the accelerator that not enough companies are paying attention to.
Right. Yeah, kind of an intangible thing that it might be kind of hard to show your investors, I guess.
Well, I think too many people think it's intangible, and it's actually quite measurable. There's a very compelling scientific sound way to assess those things. Doing a correlation between sentiment of your clients, sentiment of your employees, and the impact that has on growth, on churn, on margin, on retention, all those other things. It's actually quite measurable. It's still an emerging science, and not everyone is doing it. That's why a lot of people think it's tangible. But the resources are out there. The knowledge is out there on how to really begin to quantify business value of engaged employees and loyal clients.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would have never figured that would be the case. But I guess if it might be a matter of just talking to people, talking to customers and getting their feedback and maybe testimony about the company. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I guess that kind of leads me to the next question. To back up, my next question was, you know, you said you found a niche market. Somebody that's looking to start a business, how would they find out if their market, what they're trying to do is a niche market that might be a viable business?
Of things. You know, our first product that we tried was our fired group of genius that we thought solved a bunch of problems, but nobody else thought solved their problems. We flipped all the way around and said, well, let's just ask a bunch of people what their problems are, and then we'll build a product that they designed. We did a ton of research and interviews, mock-ups, and we built an entire product that was exactly what people asked for, and they wouldn't even use that. The way I ended up doing was looking at their behavior between the version 1 we built and the version 2 we built. What were the things they were doing? What were they using? People aren't always smart enough to tell you what they want or what they need, and we're not always smart enough to figure out what they'll actually do. I think the smartest thing to do is look at what people are actually doing, watch behavior, and it's what we did, and we found kind of halfway between the two products was this small Venn diagram of capability, and that was the only thing people were actually using. So as we watched that behavior and started investing more in that Venn diagram, we looked outside and, you know, is anyone else doing this? Is there a product that satisfies this need or that supports this behavior? And we didn't find one. So that's where we invested our time and resources going forward. Mm-hmm. I think looking at behavior, behavior speaks a lot louder. Customers are liars. And I say that facetious. They'll tell you what they want, but you really got to look at their... And they were smart enough to actually know what they wanted in terms of what would actually change their behavior, they'd have probably figured it out already and done something with it. So, that's really getting into a disruptive business, something new. People are kind of biasing my answer towards technology there. On the other hand, a niche business could be a very mundane, run-of-the-mill business. It could be doing something a billion other people already do, but you're going to do that one thing better than anybody. And, then it comes down to defining what is better. And that's, again, where you have to engage your customers, engage your audience, watch the behaviors. And how do you do that business better than anyone else? Some of that could be quality of product and quality of service, but a lot of that is just the experience that you create. Can you be easier to do business with than anybody else? Can you be more delightful to do business with than anybody else? You go a long way with a very, very pedestrian product or service, or just make it easier and better than anyone else to consume.
Okay. Do you do any work with nonprofit organizations?
Not very often. I've done very little, just kind of advice here and there. And we leverage a lot of nonprofits. We support nonprofits that are in the industry that we serve. So a lot of our clients are engineering companies. So we're involved with the American Council of Engineering Companies, the nonprofit professional association. So we sponsor, we speak at their events, we do a lot of other work with them, but we don't do much with them in terms of them being a client.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I think you kind of answered that in the beginning of the interview too. So, you know, as you're looking at a business, what are you seeing that most businesses can improve upon? Is there any one thing that you can just point sticks out to you?
Well, you're probably going to know my answer by now. It's focusing on the client and the customer experience.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say that. You kind of answered that already.
You always stay focused on creating value for your clients and customers, and doing so in a way that's easier and or more enjoyable than your competitors, you're always going to have a good business. Value creators that are fun and easy to work with always win.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's all the questions I had for you. It's, I got to say, it's pretty exciting to hear some of the things that I've been researching and learning about from someone that's done it firsthand. So I really appreciate you taking out the time. So I'm actually, just to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm a online, so I'm a distant student at Western Carolina, and I live in Greenville. So I'm actually closer to you than I am to the university.
School.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the program's entrepreneurship, and the course I'm taking this term is called Entrepreneurial Growth. Last term was Planning. So, and everything you're talking about here is items that the topics that we've been discussing and learning about.
Good, good. Well, Michael, I do hope I was able to help. I hope you learned something from it. And in your reflection, if you have any follow-up questions, feel free to reach out.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your time this morning.
Sure thing.
Well, very good. Well, you have a good rest of the day.
Thanks. You too, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.